Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Lamed Vav. We are holding on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rava Bar Shiva, about 6-7 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ilu Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Aleha Shalom. And it's also sponsored by Zuchus Urfur Shalema for Tinok Ben Esther, a baby who was just born who's in need of a refuah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is, first we're going to continue the discussion about the two opinions of how the Torah was written on the stones. Was it written directly on the stone and then Sad Besid, or was it Sad Besid and then written over that? So the Gemara is going to get into some of the details relating to that machlokas. Then the Gemara is going to talk about all of the wonderful miracles that occurred on the very day that we crossed the Yarden. It was a very busy day. We're going to describe all of the different things that happened and many miracles that occurred on that day. The Gemara is going to talk about the Tzira. There were certain flying insects that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sent in order to help us conquer Eretz Yisrael, in order to get rid of our enemies, and where exactly the Tzira were effective. Were they, which side of the Yarden did they affect the people on, and how exactly, who exactly they affected, how that worked. So we're going to have a couple of opinions about that, about the Tzira. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the names of the Shvatim and how they were split on the Avnei Ephod, and how it could work out that there were exactly 50 letters in the names of the Shvatim as they were listed on the Avnei Ephod. We're going to talk about that because the Gemara assumes that as a raya, that the same way that they were set up on Har Grizim and Har Eval, the same split of Shvatim on Har Grizim and Har Eval may have been the same split of Shvatim on the Avnei Ephod. Which six were on which of the Avanim related to which six were on which of the mountains. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the Kiddush Hashem that was made by Yosef privately, as opposed to Yehuda, who made the Kiddush Hashem publicly. So we're going to talk about Yosef's great Kiddush Shem Shamayim in how he behaved with Eishes Potiphar. We're also going to talk about Yosef's interactions with Paro, particularly relating to his knowledge of Shivim Lashon and Paro's lack of knowledge of Shivim Lashon. The Paro, there was one language that Paro just couldn't get, and how Yosef utilized that information in order to be able to bury Yaakov, to leave Mitzrayim, to bury Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael. So let's begin. We are at Amar Rava Bar Shila, about again 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the end of the page. Amar Rava Bar Shila, my time with Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon hold that first they were Sad Besid, first they plastered the stones, and then they wrote the Torah on that? It's a strange question. The Minchas Sota points out that L'chor Rabbi Shimon gives a very good reason for his Shita. He's not the hard Shita to understand. It makes sense because he says to Rabbi Yehuda that if they were to write it directly on the stones and then Sad Besid, then how do you blame the Umos Olam for not having read the Torah? It was hidden. It was under. So Rabbi Yehuda came up with this chap that they got their sofrim to come and they scraped off the Sid and they found it. They found the writing. But according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't need any of that because it was there. So it's a little bit of a strange question. But the Gemara says, what's Rabbi Shimon based on? Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, V'hayu amim misrafo sid. So according to Rabbi Shimon, that means that the amim are going to be nidon lisrefa, that they're misrafos, they're going to be chayiv srefa, al iske sid, because the Torah was written in front of them on sid, and they didn't learn it. So you see that the Torah was written over the sid, al iske sid, that it was on the sid, and they're faulted for not having learned the Torah that was written on the sid. Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda will explain the pasuk that it's talking about the punishment that the nations are going to get in Gehenim, that the misrafos means they're going to burn in Gehenim. Ki Sid, that and the way Gehenna works, the way the Onish Gehenna works, is similar to the way Sid works. Ma Sid, just like plaster, in order to make it really good, Ein lo takana ela sreifa, it needs to be fired up, it needs to be burnt up. Afos ma kutim, so too, those kutim, calls man, that they didn't come to be Megayer, and they decided to remain among the Umos Olam, Ein lem takana ela sreifa, that the only way they're going to be okay is through sreifa, through the Eish of Gehenna, through the fire of Gehenim. So Kiman Azla Hadatanya, so says the Gemara, who does the following, which of these Tanayim who disagree about whether the Shiva Umos who were in Chutz Laretz were accepted, which of those Tanayim does the following Brisa agree to? So the Brisa says Vishavisa Shivyo. The pasuk is in Bim Parsh Kiseitze, is Kiseitze L'Melchama Aleivecha Unisano Hashem Elokecha Biyadecha. They can go to fight a war. Hashem is going to give your enemies over in your hands. Vishavisa Shivyo. L'chora, those are extra words. It could have just said Vinasano Hashem Elokecha Biyadecha V'Reisa B'Shivya Eishas Yifas Tovar V'Chulei. And you take a Yifas Tovar. What's Vishavisa Shivyo? So the Rabbis Kananim Shabchutz Laretz. It's telling me that there are captives in Chutz Laretz in other nations that were taken captive, who were native to Eretz Canaan, who were Canaanim, who were one of the Shiva Umos, and they were just taken captive by other countries. So even though they didn't come there on their own, they're not included in the Isser of Los Sechaya Kol Neshama. Los Sechaya Kol Neshama means when we go into Eretz Yisrael, we have to wipe out all the Shiva Umos. So what happens if we find a member of the Shiva Umos in some other country, and the reason they're there is not because they decided to change their nationality to move there. They were captured there, and that's why they're there. So we're told that they're allowed to take them as a Yifas Tovar also, because we do not have a requirement to wipe them out as well. So Shem Chozer B'Tshuva Mekabel Osan. If they're Chozer B'Tshuva, we are Mekabel them. So Keman, who's that assuming like? Rabbi Shimon. That must be like Rabbi Shimon who held that the Bnei Shiva Umos that are in Chutz Laretz are not included in Los Achaya Kol Neshama as long as they do tshuva. But according to Rabbi Yehuda holds the Bnei Shiva Umos that are in Chutz Laretz are included in Los Achaya Kol Neshama. So Veshavisa Shivyo can't be talking about the Shiva Umos. So Tosfos raises the question: how do you know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the same? It could be that he holds it just like the Torah was matir, meaning enochinami. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that normally a Kanani who's stuck in some other land is included in Los Achaya Kol Neshama, but maybe Yifas Tovar is an exception, right? Meaning we're trying to prove the fact that you're allowed to take a Yifas Tovar from a Kanani that's in Chutz Laretz means that you hold that if a Kanani does tshuva, you're allowed to accept that you don't have to wipe them out when they're in Chutz Laretz. Mechitesi. Maybe every other Kanani you actually do have to wipe out when they're in Chutz Laretz. Yifas Tovar is an exception. Why would you say Yifas Tovar is an exception? Because Yifas Tovar is an exception to everything. The very idea you're going to go to war and you're going to take a Yifas Tovar and you're going to take some non-Jewish woman and you're going to marry her, even though she's considered like a zona, so the Torah allows you to take her, the whole thing is an exception. So maybe it's an exception to every normal rule, including the rule of L'Sachaya Kol Neshama. So Tos says, no, we learn from the fact that the Torah is only Matir Yifas Tovar B'Milchemes Roshos, meaning Chutz Laretz, but in Milchemes Mitzvah, the Torah is not Matir Yifas Tovar. So apparently, Yifas Tovar is not an exception to Los Chaya Kol Neshama, because if it were an exception to Los Chaya Kol Neshama, then in the wars of conquering Eretz Yisrael, we also would have had a din of Yifas Tovar. They're not allowed to leave any of them alive, except for Yifas Tovar. But the fact that there's no din of Yifas Tovar in Eretz Yisrael tells us that that's because Yifas Tovar does not break the rule of Los Achaya Kol Neshama. Tosfos then also asks the question, why does Rabbi Shimon require a ribui of Vishavisa Shivyo to tell me Kananim Shebuchutz Laretz, anyway the Kananim Shebuchutz Laretz are not included in Los Achaya Kol Neshama. So why do I need a pasuk Vishavisa Shivyo? Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, it should be too obvious. Why do I need a pasuk of Vishavisa Shivyo that I'm allowed to take Yifas Tovar from a Kanani who happens to be in Chutz Laretz, a Kanani who happens to be in Chutz Laretz, like anybody else? So why wouldn't I be allowed to take a Yifas Tovar from them? So the Tosfos suggests that the main limud of Rabbi Shimon, that Kananim Shebuchutz Laretz are mutter if they do tshuva, is from this drasha of Vishavisa Shivyo. Meaning this is the basis of his shita, the very fact fact that Shavisa Shavio teaches me that you're allowed to take a Yafas Tawar from a Kanani Shebuchutzlaritz tells me that a Kanani Shebuchutzlaritz is not treated the same way as a Kanani in Eretz Yisrael. And that's a broader rule than any Kanani in Chutzlaritz who does tshuva, you're allowed to accept them. So now the Brisa continues, Bo Rei Kamenisim Nasu Ba'osu Hayom. Take a look at how many great miracles occurred on that day that we crossed the Yarden. That obviously the water split, Avru Yisrael is the Yarden, therefore we were able to cross the Yarden. It didn't split, but it stopped, and therefore built up a wall on one side while the rest of the river continued flowing down. So they were able to cross the Yarden. They traveled more than 60 mil to get to Har Gerizim Har Eivel. If you recall, we had a machlokas about that. I think it was Daf Lamed Gimel. We had a machlokas whether Har Gerizim Har Eivel were right there, right on the other side of the Yarden, or they were, 60 mil away. So this price is assuming, like the Shita, that they were really, really far away. And with all that, that apparently they were able to waltz right through the land, 60 mil, and no one was stopping them. Here's nation 3 million strong, they're just walking right through 60 mil, and no one tried to stop them. And anyone who did try to stop them would immediately lose control of their bowels. They would completely lose control of their faculties. Minchasot explains that miyad nitras is the reason why in kolber yichol lamud b'fneihem, because the first ones who tried right away lost control of their faculties. Everyone else said, that doesn't look like that guy's having a good day. I'm not going to try that. I'd rather not end up where he is. So no one else tried. It's Pharisee says differently. He says, no, these are two different miracles. Number one, that Hashem caused the ema of Maves to strike the hearts of all of them, so they were afraid to encounter Klal Yisrael, to confront Klal Yisrael. But still, anyone who built up the courage to do so, miyad nitras. So it was a second miracle. Shenemar esei mosi ashalach lefenecha v'hamosi es kolam asher tava behem. Hamosi is muhuma. It's a sense of losing whatever's in your body. Va'omer tipal aleihem emos v'afachad. And someone who has a terrible fear, a terrible terror, it's likely to lose control of their faculties. So the pasuk, now that pasuk is by Azia. So it sounds like it's talking about the pachad that was nofel when they heard about the Kriyas Yamsuf, that's what the Shiras Hayam is about, and not about when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. But could be the mashmos of the pasuk is that it's talking about when Klal Yisrael crossed over the Yarden as well in the days of Yeshua, because there were great nisim and pachad of the umos at that time as well. So if there was, meaning it stands to reason that it was a similar fear that struck the hearts of the people in Eretz Yisrael at that time. That the similar fear to what they had at Kriyas Yamsuf was going to happen when they crossed the Yarden. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Zo Bia Rishona. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, that's a reference to the first time Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yoshua when we crossed the Yarden. Ad Yavar Amzu Kanisa, Zo Bia Shnia. That pasuk is talking about the second time we came into Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra after Nebuchadnezzar had exiled us, that also should have been against the will of the Malchi Paras and with all the pachad of the Umos HaOlam. But the Maisa, that's not the way it happened with Bia Shnia. It was with the Rishos of Koresh Melech Paras, where the pasuk says in Ezra in that Koamar Koresh Melech Paras, Mivachem Mikolamo Yielo Kavimo Vayal Yerushalayim, meaning that he gave them permission, he allowed them to return. So Emor Meata Ruina Yisrael Lasos Lemnes Bia Shnia Ki Bia Rishona. Klal Yisrael should have had a miracle happen to them in the days of Ezra, the same way they did in the days of Yoshua. Ela Shagar Machet. But because of the sins, Rashi writes, of the people during this man of Bayis Rishon, they weren't going to be Zocha to that again. It wasn't going to happen again in the days of Bayis Sheni. And therefore, there was no Nes the second time around, like the great Nisim that happened when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yarden. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden asks on Rashi, that Rashi says, wait, why were they not Zocha for Bayis Sheni? Because during Bayis Rishon, people did Averos. They weren't the same people. They were in Golis for 70 years. There were a few Zikanim that remembered Bayis Rishon, right? We're told that the few Zikanim who remembered the covenant of Bayis Rishon were not so thrilled with Bayis Sheni because they saw the difference between the daily miracles of Bayis Rishon and what Bayis Sheni looked like. But for the most part, it's not the same people. So the next generation is going to be punished because of the sins of the earlier generation. So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, no, it's their own averos. Not like Rashi says. The people that came back in the days of Ezra, they had plenty of their own averos. You look at the psukim, they were all intermarried. So they had plenty of their own averos. Unclear why Rashi couldn't say that, meaning that's pretty explicit that they had plenty of their own averos to choose from. Why we have to choose? Now, as far as the question, why would they get punished just because of the sins of the previous generation, one could argue it's not a punishment. They just weren't zocha to have these great miracles as a nation, as Knesset Yisrael. When miracles happen to the nation, it's not about the individuals. That's about Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael is the same unit that it was, and we weren't zocha to have those same miracles happen a second time. It's interesting. The days of Yehoshua, we had the miracles. The days of Ezra, we don't have the miracles. It's merumas even in their names, right? There's a difference between an Ozer and a Moshiach. I think the Malbim is one that makes this point, but the Gra also, that Ozer means that when they both mean Hashem helps me, right? But Ozer is when I make an effort and I do something, and Bederech that effort should yield results, so then Hashem helps me. Moshiach is when I know that I have no control whatsoever over the situation, and it's completely beyond Hashem. That's Hashem as a Moshiach. Yehoshua is Lashon Moshiach. We went in the days of Yeshua, we couldn't split the yard, and we knew that that was Hashem. We couldn't fly the Kohanim holding the Aron by having the Aron fly. We knew that all of this, we couldn't travel 60 mil. We knew that was Hashem, that we couldn't make everyone who confronted us lose their bowels. That was obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas Ezra's Milashon Ozer, that we put in an effort and political maneuvering and speaking to Koresh and getting his permission. So that, it feels like we're doing something. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it, but it seems on Derech HaTeva that we're doing it. That's what the Gra writes, that in the first Baruch HaShemone Esrei, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech who is Ozer, Umoshiach, Umagen, that they mean three different things. Ozer means that when I try to do things and accomplish, I work for a living and I try to make money, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps, that I'm successful. So I think that I'm doing it, but I know when I really think about it, that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it. Moshiach means that there are many things I know that I have no control of. The person's not feeling well, they go for a blood test or something, what the results of that blood test are going to be, they know that they have no control of that. It's completely in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Magen means that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me to do something that goes against my better judgment. It seems that it's counterproductive, that it's going to hurt me, that it's going to defeat me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you follow what I tell you to do, and it's going to turn out for the best for you. That's Magen. And then we conclude the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham, because Avraham Avinu was the ultimate example of a Magen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, I'm going to make you a great nation, you're going to have children like the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. And by the way, your only child, kill him. You know, destroy me. It's going to make me unable to accomplish any of my goals. No. Magen Avraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Magen like he was by Avraham Avinu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do something, you follow the command, and ultimately you're going to see that it accomplishes what you wanted to accomplish. Siv Secham writes in Mesachus Brachos that it says, that's why it says the first time, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, that the first time in the days of Yehoshua, since it was with all these miracles, it was Amcha Hashem. We were called Al Shem Hashem, but in the second time, Ad Yavar Amzu Kanisa, is in the days of Ezra. That it's a nation. It's not so evident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing the heavy lifting in the days of Ezra. V'achar kach hivyus havanim. Then they brought the Havanim that they had taken from the Yarden in order to build the Mizbech, like Moshe Rabbeinu told them before they crossed the Yarden. Ubanu as Mizbech v'sadu b'sid. And they built the Mizbech out of those Havanim, and they plastered them. V'kosu aleim is called the Brei Torah b'shivim lashon. And they wrote the entirety of Torah in 70 languages on those stones. That was also a miracle that they were able to do that. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Be'er Heitev. Pasuk says, V'chasafta alavanim, is called the Brei Torah Zos, Be'er Heitev. So the Lashon of Be'er Heitev makes it sound like everybody has to be able to understand it. So it's got to be in Shivim Lashon. V'helu olus u'shlamim. Then they brought Karbanos olus and shlamim on that Mizbeach. V'achlu v'shasu v'samchu. And they celebrated And then they did the brachos and the klalos of the Levim by Har Grizim and Har Eval. The whole thing that we described back on Daf Lamed Beis, the whole procedure of the brachos and the klalos. The kiplu as avanim. Then they peeled the seed that was on the avanim, which held them together as a mizbeach. And they came and they put the avanim on a more permanent basis in Gilgal, where they stayed that night. That was where they were going to stay forever. Shneimer, because the pasuk says, "Vavartem osam imachem v'yinaktem osam b'malon yachal b'chol malon malon." You might think that they have to bring these avanim to every malon, meaning to every place that they stay. Tamalam asher talinu bo halayla. No, that place where they stayed the first night, which was all the way back in Gilgal. So they traveled 60 mil to do this whole thing out of Grizim Arevel, then schlep the stones back another 60 mil back to where they started in Gilgal. So the uksiv veshtei mesrei avanim eila ashalachu. Pasuk says that the raya that those stones that they took from the Yarden and that they established them as back on Har Eval are the same ones that went back to Gilgal's from this pasuk veshtei mesrei avanim eila ashalachu. From the pasuk continues min haYarden hakim Yoshua. So now all that happened in one day. So it was an amazing series of events for one day. So Tana, the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Tzira. Pasuk says in Shmos Chav Gimel that Vishalachi said Tzira lefanecha v'girsha sachivi esaknani v'esachiti lefanecha. So the pasuk doesn't say that the Tzira is going to chase out all seven nations, just the Chiti and the Kanani. So Tzira lo avar imahim must be the Tzira didn't cross the Yarden with them, and that's why it only mentions those that were in the land that was on the their side of the Yarden. So I ask the Gemara, v'lo, is that true? The Tzira didn't cross the Yarden with them? These were these flying insects that aggravated their enemies and enabled the Klal Yisrael to defeat them. V'aksiv v'shalachti esat tzira lefanecha. Doesn't the pasuk say v'shalachti esat tzira lefanecha v'girsha esat chivi? And the chivi were in Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't just the Kanani and the Chiti, it was the chivi also. And the chivi were in the mainland. So if the tzira affected the chivi, obviously they must have crossed the Yarden. So Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Shimon Lakish explains, no, the tzira did not cross the Yarden. Asfas Yarden amda v'zarka ben mara. The Tzira stayed by the edge of the Yarden and were able to emit some sort of poison. And v'simta einein milamala v'sirastin milamata. The Chivi happened to have lived right at the edge of the Yarden, so they were affected by the Tzira that sprayed some sort of venom that affected them in a way that blinded their eyes and it was misaris them. Shenemar v'anochi shmati esamari mipneim asher kegova arazim gavav v'chason huke elonim v'ashmid piryo mima. Mima'al, Ushroshav Mitachas. Pirio Mima'al is the eyes. Shroshav Mitachas is the Sirus that happened, that they were castrated from the Tzira. Rav Papa Amar State Sirus Havai. No, there are two types of Tzira. Chad de Moshe, Chad de Yeshua. One of the days of Moshe, and another one, the days of Yeshua. De Moshe lo Avar, de Yeshua Avar. A simpler solution. The ones from the days of Moshe, that only affected the people on one side of the Yarden, and the one from the days of Yeshua went to the other side of the Yarden and affected all the people that were in Eretz Yisrael. Shisha Shvatim al Rosh HaGrizim. So he said six Shvatim went to the Rosh HaGrizim. So in Sefer Yoshua it says that Chatzio al Mul HaGrizim, Chatzio al Mul HaReval, and from the fact that the Pasuk doesn't say, it says V'HaChatzio, not Chatzio al Mul HaGrizim V'Chatzio, it says V'HaChatzio, an extra hey. So it sounds like this is a known division, that there's a division that we've had somewhere else already that was now reenacted on Har Grizim and Har Eval. So my v'hachatzio, where else do we have the division of Shvatim in this way? So Amar Rav Kahana, Kederach Shachalukin Kan, the same way they're divided in Har Grizim and Har Eval, Kachalukin, Avnei Eifot, so too their names are split on the Avnei Eifot. So the Gemara asks in Rav Kahana from a brisa that we're going to bring that has a Machlokas Tanaim, how exactly the names of the Shvatim appeared on the Avnei Shoham. And according to those Tanaim, that it turns out that the Shita of Rav Kahana, that the Avnei Shoham were arranged the same way they were by the Brachos of Klalos, doesn't align with any of the Tanaim that we're about to quote. Meaning this Chiddush, Rav Kahana says, the same split that you have on the Avnei Shoham Hashlam and the Avnei Eifod is the same split. You have Har Grizim Har Evel. Psukim tell us how the split was in Har Grizim Har Evel. Let's see what the Tanayim have to say about how it was split on the Avnei Shalom and see if it matches. And it doesn't. So Meisvei, we have a price of Shtei Avanim Tovos Ha'ilal Kohen Gadol Akseifav. Kohen Gadol had two fine stones on his shoulders. Achz Mikan V'Achz Mikan, one on each side. Shmos Shnei Masr Shvatim Kosov Aleim. Shisha Levin Zov V'Shisha Levin Zov. And he had six names of six Shvatim on each of the stones. Shenemar Shisha Mishmosam Ala Evan Achas. And it says, the Shisha Hanosarim were Ala Evan Ashenis Kitol Dosab. So we're medayik from the fact that it says, Dafka by the second stone, it says Kitol Dosam, that Shnia is Kitol Dosam, that in the second stone they were in order of their birth, that the last six Shvatim were on the second stone in order of their birth, Gad, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, Binyamin, Velo Rishona Kitol Dosam. But the first stone did not have them engraved in the order of their birth. Mesha Yehuda, because even though Yehuda was the fourth born son, Muktam, he comes before all the others in the first grouping of six, meaning it was Yehuda, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Dan, Naphtali. The Chamishim Osios Hayu, and happened to have been that there were 50 Osios altogether of the names of the Shvatim, and based on the way we're explaining it, Esrim V'chamish Halevin Zo, V'esrim V'chamish Halevin Zo, there were 25 letters on this stone, 25 letters on that stone. Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel Lomer, Lo Kedarach Shechalukim B'chumash HaKvudim, Chalukim B'Avnei Eifod. No, not the same way that the names of the Shvatim are split in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, are they divided in the Avnei Eifod. Ella, rather, the way it was engraved on the Avnei Eifod is Kederek Shechalukin B'Chumash Sheni, the same way that they're split in Chumash Sheni. Chumash Sheni is Chumash Shemos. The Netziv very famously has a Hakdama to Sefer Shemos, where he goes through the names of where he tries to explain why the Bahag gives different names to different Svarim, and he says, there's Chumash HaPikudim, there's Bamidbar. So every Sefer has like a name that makes sense. There's Taras Kla, every Sefer has a name that makes, but except for Sefer Shemos, there's no description. It's just Chumash Sheni. So the Netziv says somewhat paradoxically that you might think Chumash Sheni means like there's nothing here. No, Chumash Sheni is to tell you that everything that happened in Bereishis was only to lead up to what's going to happen in Shemos. That it's Dafka highlighting the importance of Shemos. Because what happens in Shemos? Matan Torah. So everything that happened, all the Maisa Avos, everything that happened in Sefer Bereishis was and Bria Sa'olam. It was all there. All of the Bria was only there for Chumash Sheni. So I don't know why the Netziv needs a Bahag. The Gemara calls it Chumash Sheni. Right? So the same way they were split in Chumash Sheni when we describe the Yotzei Yerech Yaakov who went down to Mitzrayim. So Kate said, what was the Chaluk on the Avnei Eifod? So it was B'nei Leia Kesidron, the Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun on one stone, and then the second stone was B'nei Rachel, Echad Mikan, Ve'echad Mikan, the second stone had B'nei Rachel, Binyamin on the top of the stone, and Yosef on the bottom of the stone, U'B'nei HaShvachos Be'emtza, and the B'nei HaShvachos in between Yosef and Binyamin on the second stone. So says Gemara, Ve'ela Mayani Mekayim, how am I going to be Mekayim the Pasuk? Kitol Dosam. It doesn't fit. So Kishmos and Shnuka Len Avien, Velo Kishem Shakar Len Moshe. It means that they were written out using the names that their father gave them when they were born and not the names that Moshe Rabbeinu called them by. Meaning Ru'uvein, Velo Ru'uveini, Shimon, Velo Shimoni, Dan, Velo Hadani, Gad, Velo Hagadi. Right? Moshe called them Ru'uveini, Shimoni, Hagadi. Right, that's not what was written on the Avnei Eifod. It was their actual names. So it's Yufta to Rav Kana to Yufta, but bottom line is, it's definitely not like the split was in Har Grizim and Har Evel. So that's the Yufta and Rav Kana. Ve'elamai v'achetzio. So then what is the v'achetzio? If it wasn't the same split as Har Grizim and Har Evel, when we say that it was v'achetzio, what is the previous split that we're referring to that matched at Har Grizim and Har Evel? So Tana, chetzio shalmul Har Grizim, meruba mechetzio shalhei. Shall Har Evel. That the number of the half of the Shvatim that were in Har Grizim was greater than the number of the half of the Shvatim that was in Har Evel. And that's what it says, V'hachetzio el mul Har Evel, that the smaller of the two halves was by Har Evel. And the reason that the half that was Har Evel was smaller than the other half was Mibnei Shalevi Lamata, because the Zakenim of Levi weren't on the mountains. They were down in the valley in between. So it says, well, that makes no sense. If Levi is one of the Shvatim in Har Grizim, so that should have minimized the number of Har Grizim, not the number on Har Evel. So Adrabah, Mnesha Levi Lamata, Batrilu, because Levi was Lamata, Batrilu, that should have made the number on Hargrizim smaller. But we're saying the number on Hargrizim was greater. So how do you explain that? Now, Hachkamra, what we meant to say is, Afal Pisha Levi Lamata. The Shvatim and Hargrizim were so large that even though they were missing part of one Shevet, major parts of Levi were down in the valley, still Bnei Yosef Imahem. Since Hargrizim included the Bnei Yosef, and they were an enormous Shevet, so that's why they outnumbered the Shvatim and Har Eval. Shenemar Veidab Bnei Yosef is Yoshua Lemar, Madur Nesatli Nachu Goralechen Bechavalechen Vani Amrav. How come we only get it? They were complaining to Yeshua. How come we get such a small portion? Portion in Eretz Yisrael, where this massive amount of people. If you're such a large number of people, go to the forest and take that area. That's what the Pesukim report is. What the conversation was like. So what did that mean? Go to the forest. I mean, manavshach. If that was part of their chelik, of course they can go to the forest and take the chelik. And if that wasn't part of their chelik, they're not allowed to go to somebody else's forest and just go take away somebody else's chelik. So Amar Lahen, Yeshua said to the Bnei Yosef, "Luchuvi hichabu atzmachem bayarim." Do you realize what you're saying? You're saying that we have so many children, kanai nahara, large families, and you're going and showing that off. That's a terrible ayin hara. Go hide in the forest. Don't publicize all your successes. Shlo tishlot b'chem ayin hara. I don't want the ayin hara to get the best of you. So Amalei, the Bnei Yosef said, you don't know about us. We're impervious to the ayin hara. The ayin hara doesn't affect us. Zara di Yosef l'sholta b'ein abisha. Ayin hara doesn't affect the Zara di Yosef. Because the Pasuk says, in the bracha Yaakov gave to Yosef, ben paras, Yosef ben paras, ale ayin. V'amir abivo, alte kore, ale ayin, ela ole ayin. That we're above the ayin hara. It doesn't impact us. That no, there's another source for the idea that the Bnei Yosef are not subject to Ayin Hara. The Yidgu Larov Bekerev Haaretz, that just like Dagim Shabiyam are Parim Varavim, right? Dagim are a Simon Bracha because they have so many children. So too Bnei Yosef are going to be Parim Varavim. And the fact that he compares them to fish is Ma Dagim Shabiyam, Mayim Mechasna Lehem, Ve'in Ayin Shaletas Ben. Since the water covers them, people can't see the fish. Avzar Shal Yosef ain't shall let us bam. So too, the Zar Shal Yosef is not going to be subject to Ayin Hara. So the Torah Chaim raises the question: what do you mean ain't shall let us bam in the fish? If the water is clear, then you do see the fish. Rav Aaron Khan told us once here from Rav Yerucham Gerelik that no, you never really actually see where they are, because when you see them in the water refracts the rays of light, so you think it's over there, but it's really a little bit off to the side. So the Ayin is not really sholet exactly where it is. So the Braisa had said that the number of letters of the names of the Shvatim were a total of 50, 25 on each stone. So Hani Chamishim Osios, Chamishim Nechichada Havim. Says Gemara, do the math. It's not. It's 49. Now, the Gemara is assuming at this point that Binyamin is written with only one Yud. Binyamin Chaser, like it's written many times in the Torah. And therefore, it's 49. So Amar Yitzchak Yosef Asifalo Os Achas, Shremer Edus Bi Hosef Samo B'tzeis Olaretz Mitzrayim. It's 50 because there's an extra hay in Yosef's name. Masrav Nachman Yitzchak about Kitol Dosan B'inan. But I thought we said that Kitol Dosan doesn't mean the order in which they are born, but it means the way that Yaakov named them at birth. And it was not Yehosef, it was Yosef at birth. So that wouldn't fit. It can't be that there was an extra hay from Yosef's name. So says Gemara, no, it's all about Binyamin. Elakala Tarukula Binyamin Ksiv, without a second Yud, Vahacha Binyamin Shalem. It's the same word, it's pronounced the same, but over here it's Binyamin with an extra Yud between the last Mem and Nun. So Kedichsiv Aviv Karalo Binyamin, that his father called him Binyamin with the extra Yud. If you Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky told me that his father's name, Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's oldest son, was Binyamin without the Yud at the end. Typically when you spell Binyamin, you write Binyamin in a ksuba, or write Sayari, you spell with two Yuds, a Yud at the end as well. So he said, what happened? Rav Yaakov was naming Rav Binyamin after, I think, his father-in-law. So his father-in-law died a tragic death. He was walking on the street in Manhattan or something, and he was beaten by thugs, and he was murdered. So the halacha is that when you name a child after someone who maybe wasn't in Manhattan, maybe it was in Europe somewhere. So when you name a child after someone who... after someone who had Reya Mazali, who had a bad mazel, so you're not supposed to use the same name. You're not supposed to name after Reya, so you got to be Mishana the name. So most people are Mishana the name by adding Chayim or Simcha, you know, Baruch, they add something cheerful. Only Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky could do this. He just dropped the Yud from the name. So he's not Binyamin, he's Binyamin without the Yud, and that's how he's, so if you see the Sefer they put out, Chalkas Binyamin, it spells Binyamin without the second Yud, between the Mem and the Nun. So Amrav Chalabar Bizna Amra Bishum Chasida. Yosef Shekidish Shem Shemayim Beseser. Yosef, who's Mekadish Shem Shemayim Beseser, the Hosifal of Osachas Mishmo Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, got an extra name from an extra letter from the name of Hashem added to his name. Yehuda Shekidish Shem Shemayim Faresia. But Yehuda was Mekadish Shem Shemayim Faresia, which we'll get to in tomorrow's night, I think. Nikro Kulo Al Shmo Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's entirely called by the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu, meaning all four letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, are in the name Yehuda. That's why the Gemara in Gittin has a discussion. If you're writing a Sefer Torah and you're supposed to write the Shem Hashem, but you think you're supposed to write the name Yehuda and you just forgot the Dalet when you wrote the Shem name Yehuda, so it turns out that you did write the Shem Hashem, but you didn't intend for the Shem Hashem. So what the halacha is, that could only happen because he has all the letters of the Shem Hashem in order in his name. So Yosef, Mahi, what's the story of Yosef that is Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seser? D'chzi, Vayihi B'Kayom Hazeh, Vayov HaBayis HaLasos Malachto, that it was on that day that Yosef came to the house to do his malacha to the house of Potiphar. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when the Torah tells us that he went to do the malacha, no one's there. Malamit Sheshneim L'Dvar Aveira Neskavnu. Both Yosef and Eishes Potiphar intended to do an Aveira on that day because no one else was going to be around. Vayov HaBayis HaLasos Malachto, Rav Shmuel, Chad Amar Lasos Malachto Mamish, Rav Shmuel of Machlokas, one of them says, no, he really came to do the malacha that he was supposed to do. That malachto doesn't mean the malacha that, you know, that he wanted to go take care of himself and do malacha that he was interested in doing. It means the malacha that was miyuchad for him by his master, his job that he was supposed to do. The Chad Amar, and the other one says, Lasos Tzrachav Nichnas, that it's called malachto because he was trying to satisfy his own urges, his own desires, his own wants, and that's why it's called Malachto. That he also was Lidvar Veira in the Skavein. Ve'ein Ishmei Anshei Abayis, and there was no one there. The pasuk tells us. So Efshar Abayis Gadol Gebeis Shalosu Rasha. How could it be that you have such a wealthy, important person like the house of Potiphar and Lohaybo Ish, and there was no staff in the house? There was no one there. So Tanu Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Osa Yom Chagam Haya. It was the day of their celebration of their holiday of the Gaim Valchukulin based on his Chum Shalhen. So they all went to their temples, their churches, Vihi Amr Lahen, and she said to them, Cholihi, that she's not feeling well, she's not going to be able to make it that day. So Amra, because she planned in her own mind, Ein Li Yom Shenizkak Li Yosef Kiyom Hazeh, that there's no better opportunity than to be able to connect with Yosef in a physical way than today. But Seu Bevigdol Leimar, she grabbed him and she said, Shechva Imi, that Shechva Imi, I want you to lie with me. So Ba'osa at that time, the image of his father appeared to him in his in the window. So Amrlo, Yaakov said to him, Yosef, asidin achicha sheikosval avnei ephod. The names of your brothers are going to be written on the ephod. Va'ata b'neim, and you're destined to be among them. Ritzoncha sheyimacha shimcha mi b'neim. Do you want to be the only one that's erased? V'tikari roa zonos, and instead you're going to be the guy who was nichshol with the zona. Tichsiv v'roa zonos yabid hon. Hon is implies something very valuable and very precious. So miyad v'teshu beis in kashto. Amar Rabbi Yochum Shumra Meir shashava kashto le'isano, that he had a charata from doing the avera, and the shichva zera went back to its place. That he was already almost at the point that the shichva zera was going to come out, and it returned right back. So the lashon of pizur and zruei is the lashon of zera. So what does that mean? Not atziyadav bekarka. He stuck his hands in the ground in order to make himself struggle a little bit, so that he'll be so focused on his tzar that it will take away his yetzer hara. I mean, a lot of times a person has yetzer hara, a little bit of pain and the Yetzer Hara goes away, because pain is an overwhelming emotion. So you focus on the pain instead. And the Shulchan Zera came out from between his fingernails. Midi Abir Yaakov, the Pasuk says, so mi goram lo sheichakek al avnei eifod, ela avir Yaakov, who caused him that he was able to be on the avnei eifod? It was because Yaakov spoke to him at that moment. Misham roa evan Yisrael, misham zachav v'nasa roa, and that's why he became a roa, that he was a roa for the Jewish people. Shemar roa Yisrael, hazina noe katzon Yosef. That it was manig the nation like the tzon of Yosef. So from the fact that David refers to Am Yisrael as the tzon of Yosef, so you see that Yosef is a roa, he is a shepherd of Klal Yisrael. Tanya, he roa Yosef, v'atzimem yud be'shvatim v'derach shiatzim Yaakov v'inu, Yosef should have had 12 shvatim just like Yaakov, that Shemar el told us Yaakov Yosef. But the Shechva Zera came out from his fingernails at that time. But still, 10 more Shvatim came out of Binyamin. And they're all called, they're all named after Yosef. Etc. So Bela means Shenivla Beinu Umos, that he was swallowed up among the nations when he was sold. The second was called Becher because Yosef was a Bechor Limo. Ve'eshbal Sheshava Okel, that Yosef was held captive among nations. Gera shegarbach sinayus, that he lived in a foreign land. V'naamon shenayim biyosu, because he's so sweet. Achi v'rosh, achiu, he's my brother from my mother v'roshihu, and he's older than me. Mupim is because Yosef was able to teach all the Torah that he learned from Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu learned from Shem Ve'ver. Chupim hu lo ra b'chupasi v'ani lo ra yisi b'chupaso. Ve'ered sheyared l'beinu masolam, and he went down b'inu masolam. Ikad amri ve'ered shapad of domen l'vered, that his face was like a rose. So in that sense, Yosef had all of these 12 children. But Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, with Yosef and Paro. Have a great day, everyone.